vision.
Part of the community. The next idea.
Getting cities right will be very, very important, not just for the recovery, but for the long-term sustained growth.
As Detroit rebounds and the city's downtown and midtown experience waves of new investment, new business, and entertainment, figuring out ways to ensure more equitable growth across the city has become a top priority. How do we make sure that Detroit's neighborhoods and their residents are included in the city's comeback? That was the topic of Detroit Future City's most recent Ideas for Innovation community conversation. And as we've been doing here on The Next Idea throughout the series, we have two guests today who were part of the event here with us to share their vision for more equitable growth in Detroit. Chris Dorley is a Deputy Director for City Systems and Business Development for Detroit Future City. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Glad to be here.
And joining us is the event's keynote speaker, Roderick Miller. He is president and CEO of the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation. Good to have you with us, Rod.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm going to start with you, Chris. As we mentioned, the conversation around equitable growth in Detroit has really become a priority as we look toward building the city's future. Just what does equitable growth in Detroit mean for you?
When we talk about equity in Detroit, we're really trying to talk about making sure we have a level playing field where people have an opportunity to participate in the city's revitalization. Really talk about that in three major buckets. We talk about equity in place and how we can, through the development of our neighborhoods, increase the equity and access to amenities and the key services that people need, including jobs and access to employment. We talk about the importance of increasing access through workforce and building an equitable workforce. And lastly, we talk about building small business and entrepreneurship so that folks in Detroit, whether they've been in business for a long time or they're new entrepreneurs with an idea, they have an opportunity to latch on to the growth that's happening in Detroit and build their business and be successful in Detroit.
And Rod, what about you? You know, from where you sit as the president and CEO of the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation, what does equitable growth in Detroit look like in your mind?
Well, equitable growth is really about, as Chris mentioned, access to opportunities. But one can't really talk about equitable growth in Detroit without talking about questions of race and class, kind of the conflict between the native Detroiter and the newcomers, the questions around the development in downtown and midtown versus that of the neighborhoods. And what there tends to be is there's this uneasy tension between all of these factors. But the reality is that for comprehensive, robust economy, everyone has to be able to participate in the economic expansion that's underway. And so the real way to try and address the question of equity is really around how do we create opportunities for everyone to have access. Some of those opportunities may be through workforce development and training. Others may be through small business development. And then others may be through how does the private sector and the nonprofit sector facilitate investment in a transparent and a fair fashion.
And Chris, the last Detroit Future City Ideas for Innovation community conversation, it centered around this issue of equitable growth. What types of things did the community leaders and residents who were there seemed focus on? What do they want to see happen?
They want to see opportunities for Detroiters. They want to see that they have access to jobs as the economy repositions to 21st century industries, as we move from an auto-focused economy to other industries in this city. How can they access those opportunities?
I mean, one of the things that was very, very clear is that there are many Detroiters that are upset. They're upset or they're angry because they see the resurgence of the city, they see the opportunities that are happening in the city, and they don't feel like they have an opportunity to participate. And I think that's a fair observation for someone who's been in the city for 20, 30, 40 years to say, all of this new investment and these things are happening. I've been here. Why can't I participate in this? And I think it's really a higher responsibility, obligation of people in roles like mine, like Chris's, like political leadership, and even business leadership to make sure that those opportunities exist, not just from a social perspective, but more so from an economic perspective.
Like there's a party going on. Why don't I get an invitation?
That's right. yeah, there's a party going on. Why don't I get an invitation? And the reality is that we know that when you look at issues of equity, the average income in Detroit is $26,000 a year versus $52,000 at the national level. Our unemployment rate is about 15%, nearly three times the national average. And so you're talking about one of the poorest cities in the country that has a population that's dwindled from nearly 2 million down to 700,000, nestled in one of the wealthiest economies in the metro Detroit region. And so when people see kind of this resurgence and those that have decided for whatever reason to stay in the city and make it their home and fight for better quality of life, and they don't have an opportunity to participate, that's quite frankly very, very wrong. And that division between the have and the have-nots really leads to social unrest, if not appropriately managed. And I think one of the big questions when we're looking at these questions of equity, it's not just about economic equity, but it's about quality of life. It's about things such as environmental justice and people's ability to live in a place where they have clean air and they can breathe. It's about access to services, whether it's healthcare services and other. And so this economic strand of equity really impacts everywhere people live.
It's an opportunity for us to look and say, we've learned the lessons of the 20th century, and our 21st century city that we're rebuilding, that we're going to build, is going to benefit people across a wide range of things. We're looking at more things we're looking at the full quality of life, as Rod said, so that people, anyone who chooses to either stay here, move here, and make their life here, can have that kind of full range of opportunities here in Detroit.
Rod, I want to focus on something that you highlight in your essay for the next idea, and that is a very ambitious project to rebuild the Paradise Valley neighborhood. And that, of course, was once a very vibrant area where African-American businesses and entertainment thrived. And then it was torn down to make room for I-75 and I-375 in the mid-20th century. What is your vision for the new Paradise Valley?
Well, the beauty of Paradise Valley, the historical Paradise Valley, it was one of the few places where blacks in the city could live and could have businesses. But what was apparent in reading the history of the old Paradise Valley, it was a place where everyone in Detroit came together for good music, good food, good fun, and good amenities. And I think that's part of the vision for the new Paradise Valley, not to celebrate a time that we were segregated, but to recognize that there is a certain level of value in our cultural distinctions and the things that make us different. And as a community, as a society, that we all don't have to be a monolith in order for there to be a harmony. And the beauty of this new Paradise Valley is I think it will pay homage to the old Paradise Valley by creating a vital place that will really celebrate culture. And I think there's a real economic value to that. I know that there's a real economic value to that culture. And also what we know is that in these areas that kind of celebrate culture or that have kind of these distinct culturistics around small and medium-sized enterprises, that there's also a higher propensity to hire local people that may not fit the mold, if you will, of what big businesses would hire. We also know that in these areas there also tends to be kind of novel businesses that don't necessarily fit traditional business models. And I think our goal is to create a funky, cool place where people can live, work, and get their cultural fix as well.
And where are you in this whole project?
So we released an RFP a few weeks ago, request for proposals, and the proposals are due November 11th. And in our pre-bid meeting to give people a little bit more color or insight into the project, we had over 100 people there and it was standing room only. So we're excited because we think we're going to get a variety of proposals for developers to develop the space and make it better. We're going to get a lot of proposals for businesses that want to operate and be in those spaces. And it's going to be a very, very fun project. And we're hoping that we can make an announcement towards the end of the year, early next year. That said, it's not enough. So I'm excited about this, but the real question is how do we add scale and even have other opportunities for amenities that are inclusive in the city of Detroit?
And Chris Dorley, I'd like to ask you this. What other efforts are Detroit Future City focusing on to ensure equitable growth in Detroit?
So one of the things that we're looking at is when we're building out our systems, that on the underlying things, the things that people don't pay attention to. How do we manage our stormwater? How do we provide clean air and clean water? How do we apply clean renewable energy? These are different topics that all our infrastructure challenges that we as Detroit have to face in the 21st century, as we as a country have to face in the 21st century. So how can we, when we're building those systems, addressing those challenges, how can we look for equity? How can we do it in a way that includes everybody, that creates opportunities?
Rod, how do we make sure that equitable growth remains a priority amidst all the competing issues that need attention in Detroit?
Well, first, there has to be a conversation. So one of the things, as I've noticed, is that sometimes when issues are difficult or uncomfortable, there's a tendency not to have the conversation, the tough conversations. I mean, for example, when we're just looking at questions of equity, I look at the reality that in Grosse Pointe, the average life expectancy is 90, and in Brightmoor, it's 55. Those kinds of things, to me, point to equity. Those are difficult conversations to have. So first and foremost, I think we have to have these conversations about the issues that are very apparent around us, but may not be easy to talk about, even if we don't have solutions. The second piece of this is to remember that it's about people. And so at the center of growing an economy, people are the number one driver of investment decisions by companies. People are the ones that really determine the profitability of a company by their level of productivity. So if we keep the conversation around equity and economic growth centered on people, I think we'll be much more thoughtful in our approach and really come up with solutions that work.
Chris, tomorrow night is the final Ideas for Innovation conversation. This one will be at the Detroit Institute of Arts. What will be the event's focus?
We're talking about the making of a shared regional vision. We're going to talk about race in a region. We're going to talk about challenges, the opportunities of a region, of thinking of Detroit. If we look and think about how we compete with other regions, what are the challenges we need to overcome together to get to that point? And how can we start that conversation? How can we make it happen?
Chris Dorley is Deputy Director with Detroit Future City, and Rod Miller is President and CEO of the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation. You'll find Rod's essay on the Next Idea page at MichiganRadio.org. Thanks to both of you very much for joining us on the Next Idea.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me.